And I want to look at fellowship today. And this is fellowship not only between the Trinity, which is something that's very difficult for us to wrap our minds around, but it is the closest fellowship you can ever imagine. But fellowship that we have one with another and with God. And that is so necessary. Sometimes we need it revived. We need it reborn in our lives. But this is great good news. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22. Death initially came by a man. That was Adam. And resurrection from death came by a man. That was Jesus Christ. Everybody dies in Adam. Everybody comes alive in Jesus Christ. Just one note there. Everybody who receives Jesus Christ comes alive in him. Amen. Christianity is not a set of rules and regulations. It is a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and our fellow man. Because God gave us instructions. Jesus Christ gave us instructions, the Great Commission, before he left, and he wanted us to share this great good news. And believe me, you will not be successful in sharing the good news personally with other people unless you have a relationship with them. Our salvation, our religion, and I'm putting little quotes around that, if you will, is relational. We are saved because we have a relationship with God the Son. And because of that, we have a relationship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. That's something to be really excited about. If we can wrap our minds around it, we have a relationship to this awesome God we have been worshiping this morning. That is fabulous, wonderful news. Relationships only mature through active nurture and communication. Do you agree with that? If you want a relationship with a child, you're going to be there communicating both what's good, what's bad, what's dangerous, what's safe. You're going to be doing everything you can to communicate with that child and to nurture your relationship. And you're going to do it through every type of communication you've got available to you. You're going to do it through vocal communication. You're going to do it through nonverbal communication. And sometimes you're going to do it through applied communication. And you know what I mean. I have a relationship with my pet dog. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
I love my little dog, Rita. But she surprised me yesterday. She has instincts that sometimes we forget about. We just look at this cute little cuddly thing and think, oh, what a sweet, sweet dog. Until she came to the door yesterday with a dead little bunny rabbit in her mouth and wanted to share it with me. Anyway, but we have communication with even our pets. Can you believe that? Now, isn't it amazing that we would not work very diligently at having a relationship with those that we know and love, that we want to see receive heaven as an eternal destination? We need to work out our salvation, not only in the way that it becomes real to us, but we need to work it out in a way that it is exhibited for other people so they will have a desire to know the great, wonderful God that we know. We become like that which we most love. What do you think about that? If you most love God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, you will become more and more and more like Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh. We need to remember that, and we need to make sure that that is our first love. This world tries to communicate to us that our first love should be different things. And the way they misuse the word love today is really quite sickening. But love of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's primary for a Christian. We need to do that by reading his word, by spending time in prayer, by spending time literally in fellowship with him, so we can, in fact, be like Jesus. The only way we can even come close to that is by knowing the Holy Spirit, recognizing His work in our life, and being obedient to what He is telling us to do. And being in His Word, critical. You've seen this chart before, but I'm going to apply it to fellowship. There you see the life in sin, then you see the restoration, progress toward holiness because of the new birth in Christ, and then progress toward maturity as we become more and more like Christ. But that relationship was broken. So that fellowship was broken back in the garden when Adam sinned, and then God banished them from the garden, Genesis 3, 22 through 24. He banished Adam and Eve out of the garden. But He restored the relationship through Jesus Christ, John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, that whosoever or whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. And then Romans 12, 1 and 2, He wanted us to become completely divorced from the world, if I can put it that way, because He wanted to make us new, give us a new mind that is like the mind of Christ, and not follow the corruptions of the world, but in fact follow the renewal of the Holy Spirit that He brings in our lives on a moment-by-moment basis as we become more and more like Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here. That's what we want to do. That's what blesses other people around us as well as us eternally. Well, you know what? There you have that. Separation from the world. It's something we should get used to. If you haven't got used to it already. If you find the godless world is hating you, remember it got its start hating me. That's Jesus Christ. John 15, 18. So it happened there first. If He is who we are modeling our lives after, we should expect the same. And up there you see symbols for Islam, you see symbols for Buddhism, and you see symbols for Christianity. Okay, the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son. That's it. These other things are false religions. You have to understand that. If you love me, Jesus Christ says, John 14, 15, and 17, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father. Remember, in our prayer this morning, I even mentioned the fact that Jesus Christ is interceding on our behalf right now before God, on our behalf. I will talk to the Father, and He'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. Who is that other friend? It's God, the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity there, we're talking about how God works in our lives. You cannot do that without expressing the Trinity, because that's how God works. This friend is the Spirit of truth. Now here's what the world cannot do. The godless world can't take Him, the Holy Spirit, in because it doesn't have eyes to see Him. It doesn't know what to look for. It is so foreign because this is a fallen world. It doesn't recognize a holy, awesome God. But you, as believers, and Jesus was talking to His disciples at this moment, but you know Him already because He has been staying with you and will even be in you. Jesus was saying that for His disciples in the very near future after His death and resurrection. And after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was sent and did indwell them. And guess what? The Holy Spirit indwells us to this day, right now, and forevermore. Now, there is a separation from the world. This is my command. Jesus Christ again, John 15, 12, and 13. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. That's what Jesus did. We've got to remember Jesus is God's Son. He is God in the flesh. He is our Savior and He is our Lord. And if you want to know God the Father, if you want to know God, Jesus is the expression of God. When God wants to express himself, he does it through the Logos, Jesus Christ, the Word. So when he wanted creation, God said, "Speak it, Son." And it came into being. All things that were created through the Son. God, Creator. Jesus, though, it was the instrument through which God worked, because he is the expression of God. Every time God wants to speak or wants to express himself, it is done through the Son. All right? Now, holiness, which we've been talking about, is and equals Christ-likeness. So if we want to be holy, we need to become more and more like Christ. So that needs to be our aim. That needs to be our goal. Does that make sense? Can we literally become like the Son of God as the Holy Spirit gives us the strength and the power to do so? But we must, moment by moment, be willing to make sure that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. That's why we talk about him being Savior and also being Lord. And the best way to illustrate this to others is to put your life on the line for your friends. That's how Christ showed his love. Christ did it for us. Christ is asking us to do it for our friends. How best to represent him than for us to do that for our friends, which also means obviously sharing with them the reason you would do that, which is because you love God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We want to have constant communion with God the Father. Jesus was the prime illustration of that. Christ's love was perfect toward God and man. It is a relationship. That relationship through him was absolutely perfect. Christ took time to commune with God. Do we do that? Or is it just a second thought? It's a secondary thing in our lives. Maybe it's a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, who knows? Do you ever have days you're so busy that you forget to have any communication with God the Father? Do you ever have days when things are just so hectic that you don't ever even open the Word of God? How can we expect to have fellowship with God unless we avail ourselves of the means to do that? One of which is to communicate with him through prayer. The other is to read the Word of God, the inspired words of God that have been given to us. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. These are the words of Jesus. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. He does not want us to stay as infant baby Christians. He wants us to grow up, and as we grow up, we mature in Christ Jesus. We become more and more like him. Constant communion, prayer, and fellowship. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Have you ever spent a whole night in prayer? I cannot recall a night when I spent the whole night in prayer, because I'm sure that I would probably fall asleep, just like the disciples did. But here Jesus spent a whole night in prayer, and then in the morning, he went out and he chose his apostles. He needed that prayer. He was fully human. You have to remember that. He had set aside his godhood to live his life as completely as a human being, to become like us. It's an amazing thing that God would do that, but he did. He lived this life as one of us, but he lived it perfectly. He lived it without sin, so that he would be the perfect sacrifice. So if Jesus felt it important to be in constant communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit, how much more important is it for us? Jesus was praying, right? It said he prayed all night. Okay, then because of that, he received power, and he was infused with love, and he was able to be obedient then. As the Holy Spirit filled Christ, he was able to be obedient, and he was able to exercise the power of God. You have the same opportunity to do that. Isn't that amazing? Well, Christ spent time building those relationships with mankind. We talked about the 12 apostles. Christ dedicated 3 years to his disciples, loving, teaching, and ministering to them. He invested his time into them. I don't know how good we are at that, because we've got so many other distractions. I don't know how good I am at that. I've got it easier in doing that because you have been gracious enough to ask me to be your pastor. So I get to spend time with you in the pulpit, out of the pulpit. So I get to invest in your lives, probably not near as much as I should, but I have a better opportunity than you do. But that's still something that we all should aspire toward. And when you talk about your friends and you ask for prayer for your friends, what are you doing? You're investing in their lives. You're investing in their lives because you're showing the love that you have for them, and you're letting them know, I will be praying for you. I will ask the church to pray for you. They know where you stand. You are making an investment in other people. You are doing what Christ did. Christ also demonstrated how they were to minister to others. Christ went out. He did not neglect the least among us, but he went to them and he ministered to them. Well, praise God. Holiness doesn't just happen to you. It is also illustrated for others through you. That's something to aspire toward. Absolutely. Life is a series of problems. Either you are in one now, you're just coming out of one, or you're getting ready to go into another one. The reason for this is that God is more interested in your character than your comfort. God is more interested in making your life holy than he is in making your life happy. Rick Warren. I think that's a very wise statement. Holiness requires fellowship. These are all quotes of Jesus. Look at these. John 15, 11 and 12. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. John 15, 15. I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. And dare I say, we have even more than the apostles have or had, because we have the full testament of God. They didn't have that. They had their time with him, which had to be absolutely awesome. We have the whole, complete Word of God. I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit. So we are to do something, not just be saved and sit back and do nothing, but we're to bear fruit. Fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. John 15, 16, and 17. Practice daily communion with God. We've got to get that down. We've got to get down setting aside a part of our day to commune with God. We've got to get down getting into God's Word every day. I don't know about you, but when I am in God's Word every day, my day goes better. My week goes better. My month goes better. When I'm not in the Word of God, I can end up in a self-debilitating pity party. I don't want to go there. Be in God's Word. Even reading Job, as we've been reading, I've seen things I've not seen before. And I find that very amazing to me. God's Word is always new. It's always fresh. And it is always, if you allow yourself to be open to the Holy Spirit, it is always revealing of something new that you can apply in your life. Well, praise God. Exhibit the love and joy given by God. Don't just keep it all inside, but be a living exhibit for God's grace. And love others as Christ did by sharing the truth. Christ is and was the way, the truth, and will always be the life. We have life eternal because of Him. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong and do everything with love.